been a wonderful period of nearly 24 hours now, and wonderful in the sense of God's presence, the truths, the messages, the understanding, which always comes out at this time of year. It's never an easy time. It's never an easy day. It's not meant to be an easy day. It is an afflicting of our souls. It's meant to be a reminder of the travails that we go through in our flesh because of sin and this world which is so broken and corrupted. And it kind of takes us to a position that we began with today, when we began this morning, Yom Kippur, with a thought about meaning in the universe, man striving to find it, lost, running around like a headless chicken, seeking that meaning. Why am I here? What is the point of my life? What is my life? It's always been that empty vacuum in man's heart, as it's been described, that God-shaped vacuum, trying to find meaning, but my meaning without God is pointless and futile to try and find it. And the biggest issue, I think, when we consider this, and we've talked about this a lot today, not just sin, death, what meaning, and I mean meaning, what is the point of death? What meaning can we attach to it, apart from the raw data that says your heart stops beating and your brain waves fade? That's not meaning. Those are facts. But it's not meaning. It doesn't imply meaning into that situation. We are called to seek the meaning of that transition in our life at the very end. We're told to seek that out, to understand the whys and wherefores of death. What does it mean for us in that way? You know, as we said this morning, Ezekiel, for the soul that sins shall surely die. What meaning do we attach to this? Death is somehow connected to our behaviour, our sin, our rebellion, and our rejection of God. There's a connection there from which we are really meant to begin to draw down meaning into our lives today. For if one thing is for sure, death is the great leveller of every single human being. Yesterday I was reading somewhere, can't remember the exact numbers now, but because it passed across the screen, it was something like, you know, Elon Musk is now the richest person in the world with something like, was it $500 billion wealth? And you know what the truth is? He will die. That will not save him. It will not prevent his death. He will die in the same way as the poorest homeless person on earth. They will both die. It's a great leveller. It's the reality of our life. And as I said before in previous years, I genuinely do not believe that we can live until we have reckoned with our death. Only through understanding what death is and attaching meaning to it do we begin to actually be able to live. Because to live means to not be in fear of the death that is at the end of it. We are set free to live. And yet, as human beings, maybe not so many of us in this room, but generically as human beings, we see people railing against death as the judgment of our actions and lives. It tells us something about ourselves, our humanity, as the way people respond to this idea of death at the end of our lives. People fight it. They try and delay it. They set up whole scientific labs to try and understand what death is and how we can prolong life and keep going. As if somehow we can trick God into not letting us die. And we can prevent it in some way. Every time I read reports about the latest set of cryogenic chambers that have been designed and invented, and people allow themselves to be frozen into it in the hope that in 1,000 years' time they can be defrosted and brought back to life again and their cancer cured or whatever it may be, and thus we can live forever. I'm not impressed by the technology of that. What I see is a fearful, anxious human being who is afraid. Afraid of death. Doesn't understand it. Doesn't want it. Tries to avoid it and remove it from our expectations. Anything we can do to defeat death's steely cold claws, we will do. And we do this because, you know, as human beings, instinctively, we know death is not normal. It's not normal. It's not the normal default position of humanity. What is the normal position for humanity? Life. Not death. And when we think even of today, the situation that we were faced with during this Yom Kippur, we still see people celebrating death as if it's the highest goal and achievement that we can do. It is not. Death and causing the death of other people is the very negation of everything that God is. God is life in all its fullness. He does not seek the death of any human being in that way, because it's not our norm. We should be free of death and not put in cryogenic chambers. I mean, properly free of death. We were created to live eternally, and that eternal relationship with our God. That is why salvation is so important. That is why we talk about passing from judgment to life. We talk about Yeshua taking that sting of death for us, that we can live eternally. Yes, death is there because the judgment falls, but it's not the end. We go beyond that into eternal life because that is what we were created for. It was our destiny as human beings from the get-go. And if death cuts that short as that judgment falls upon humanity, it is that time of reckoning before the one true God, as we read about the great white throne that is there as a meeting point for every single human being that's alive on the planet right now. For many who are already dead and have been for centuries and millennia, they too will face that same position. But it's life that defines us. Not death. Death doesn't define us. It's not the size of your gravestone. It's not like the pharaohs, how big your sarcophagus was and how many slaves you slaughtered to take with you and how much gold you put in your burial chamber and blah, blah, blah. That does not define you. It's your life that defines you. We remember for what we did in our lives, how we lived our lives, what attitudes we brought with us, how we impacted the people around us. All of that defined us. It's the life that God has given us, and we need to celebrate that life, love that life, and live it for Him in all its fullness. We do not celebrate death. We do not honour it in terms of suicide bombings or anything else. That is not an honour to humanity. It is not an honour to your own body. It is the very negation of life that comes from God. We know it's not right, death. Dylan Thomas famously wrote in his poem about death, "Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rage at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." It's poetic, but it's brilliant. But actually, this is the rage of a person who has yet to embrace the reality of death and its impact, and is fearful of what comes next. Fearful that this life may be all there is. fearful that when the lights go out at the end, that's it, finito, it's over. And we're about to relinquish the one thing that has defined us up to that point, namely our lives, and the fear of losing that definitional character of what it means to be a human being strikes fear and dread into people who do not know the God of Israel and his power to redeem and restore. Because truly, if there's light out and there is nothing, then that is the summation of our lives. Nothing. But the fundamental good news in all of this is that we are not locked into a deterministic view of the universe. Just because something is what it is does not mean that that's the way it has to stay or the way it was meant to be. Just because death is there on the horizon for every human being does not mean you surrender to it and succumb to it. The good news is that this pattern can be broken. The pattern of inevitable human death can be broken. It is not the final word. In fact, the overcoming of death is predicated upon the reality of who God is. Because God is life and God is not death. He is life in all its fullness. Every aspect of what life is our God. Yeshua, of course, made exactly that statement at the time. And this comes from Matthew chapter 22. And concerning the resurrection of the dead, the famous discussion that Yeshua had with the Sadducees of his time. And they were debating with Yeshua whether the resurrection was possible, whether it happened, whether there was a life after death. It's been one of those eternal questions that have come down the ages. And they're talking about this with Yeshua, and Yeshua says, but concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and the God of Yaakov. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. How do we know that? How do we deduce that? Because he says, I am the God of Abraham, not I was the God of Abraham. Yeshua says, right now, he says, God is the God of Abraham. Now, Abraham lives before our God. Yaakov lives before our God. Yitzhak lives before our God. He's the God of the living. Both now and in eternity. He is the God of the living. Yeshua's view is very simple. Death is a judgment, but it's not the final word on anything. Of course death must exist for righteousness' sake. But it's what happens next that is mission critical in all of this. Although the Torah is often less than explicit about it, the resurrection, which is why this debate was happening, that Sadducees denied it precisely because the Torah was not, as it were, so explicit about it. The truth is simply this. In this life, as the Pharisees deduced, and the truth of Torah informs us, in this life, we so often do not see justice. We see the wicked prosper, and we see the righteous perish. In fact, if we see it this way, God's justice as part of his nature demands an afterlife where all are judged before God, and some go on to eternal life, and others do not. In other words, there has to be a resurrection. There has to be an afterlife. There has to be something after God's judgment. Otherwise, we would struggle with God's justice in this world when evil prospers and good people suffer. But we know that's not the final word. For those who don't like the idea that hell or Gehenna has to exist, however unpopular theologically that may be in this modern world, and people reject it saying that a God of love wouldn't do this, I'm telling you today, it has to exist or God is not just. There has to be a place where that judgment can be seen, however unpopular that is. But we could go further than that. If death itself is not the final destination, if death itself as an event in our lives is merely, as it were, a glitch in the human system, a glitch in the software of it all, then that glitch needs to be removed. It's rather like, if you've seen the film, it's like the cat in the Matrix film, where they see the cat again, and they just think, uh-oh, this isn't real. If that's what death is like, then in the grand scheme of things, death itself needs to be removed and destroyed. It's not the norm. It needs to be removed. It needs to be got rid of. It's a blight on humanity, and it hounds our living days. It frames our thoughts. It frames our ideas. It frames every living, breathing moment that we have. We know that that moment is there, and as much as when we're in our youth, we try and remove that thought from ourselves and we don't ponder on it, I guarantee you, the older you get, that thought cannot be held at arm's length forever. It does push in. It's a blight on us all. Full spiritual restoration means overcoming the one thing that happened as a judgment against us, namely death. And lo and behold, that is exactly what we read. 1 Corinthians 15, picking up from verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin comes from the Torah. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord, Yeshua Mashiachinu. O death, where is your sting? Where is that sting? It has no power over us anymore. And as we read already in Revelation 20, verse 14, what is it that is ultimately and finally thrown into the lake of fire? What is the last thing to be thrown in there? Death and hell are together themselves thrown into that eternal fire. Death. Gone. Removed. Death gone. In Yeshua Mashiachinu, through his sacrifice and resurrection, and beating death, being victorious over death, death could not hold him. For those who are redeemed in Adonai, death itself cannot hold you. It is a transition point, just as much as when a woman gives birth is a transition point for the baby. That is it. It's a transition moment. It's a passing from one state to another state. But that is all it is. It is not the final thing. And Rav Shaul develops this idea, this Jewish idea of the resurrection, seeing in Yeshua's own resurrection the template for ours. Death has been broken. It has been dealt with once and for all. It is not normal, and in Yeshua it is reversed and it is removed, and it will be removed at the end of time. Death is gone. The curse that rests upon us is lifted, and we have passed in Yeshua from judgment to life. This morning I was talking about restoration, talking about bringing back the original in that way, and how salvation is part of that restoration narrative. I said that the power of sin must always yield to the power of God in atonement. Always that power is more. And this saving power out trumps death. Death itself must yield to the salvation power in Yeshua. Death itself must yield. And so we've passed in Yeshua from judgment to life. Death is gone. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your power? In Messiah Yeshua, it is gone. It has no hold over me, has no hold over you. It is broken. Those steely claws have been defanged, declawed. It has no power over us at all. And so we can now live fearless before our God, knowing the fullness of his salvation, the fullness of his life, and to live that before humanity. To say to people, you do not need to be in fear of death. It's broken. It's gone. You too can be set free in the power, the resurrection power of Yeshua Mashiachinu, the Jewish Messiah, who achieved all of this and more. We are free of the power of death. Now that is good news on Yom Kippur. Amen.